Good morning. It's good to see everyone out this morning. I certainly want to take the time to thank the congregation for giving me the opportunity to stand before you and present a lesson from God's Word. I pray that what I have to say this morning is beneficial to all. And again, it's certainly an honor and privilege to stand before you and present a lesson from God's Word. Now, I want to open this morning with a question, a general question. Has technology won us over? Think about it for a moment. Has technology won us over? And we're going to look at this morning even more specifically. Has social networking won us over? Raise your hand this morning if you have a cell phone. We all have cell phones. If you know my father, he even has a cell phone, and he's probably the last one on this planet to have one. So I'm sure everyone has a cell phone. How many of us feel like there is something missing when we don't have it with you? When you leave it at home, you leave it at work, you misplaced it, you lose it, chances are you feel that way. We've become so dependent on such a small electronic device. Why have we become so dependent on our cell phone? Well, we can do basically anything we want to do on it. We can make phone calls, obviously. We can text. We can surf the internet. We can watch videos. Some have GPS systems. We can manage our bank account. We can watch TV. We can take photos and videos and on and on and on. We can do virtually anything we want or can on our cell phone. And that's just one way we communicate. And we communicate via email, Twitter, Facebook, to go along with the traditional snail mail. Okay? And whether it's the telephone or the television, or the computer or the cell phone, stop and evaluate how much time you spend on these electronic devices. And as a result, are these devices hindering us from serving God as we should? Hindering us from personal study, from personal evangelism, from utilizing our talents, and yes, even from attending worship services. These devices can be good and useful if used properly. We can find supplements to aid our study online. There are online concordances. There are ways to advertise and promote the gospel. But more often than not, we will become engrossed in them and less time is given for God's Word in our lives. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22, Jesus warned in the parable of the sower. Jesus says, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Have the cares and pleasures of this life consumed you so much to the point where you are declining spiritually and getting weaker? So one way it could be is by social networking. Now, a definition is, it's a website where one connects with those sharing personal or professional interests, education, place of origin, etc. We share content, we interact, we develop communities around similar interests. These are some examples. There's Facebook, there's MySpace, there's Twitter. And you go on and on. Pleonast, TypePad, Blogger, Classmates. Some of you may be involved in Classmates. There's YouTube. And on and on, Flickr, LinkedIn. Whether we like it or not, this is the way the world operates in December of 2010. The way the world operates, it's the way the world communicates. Now, if you consider yourself part of the older generation, you may think to yourself, well, what does this have to do with me? What does this topic have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. You may not be involved in it directly, but your children are, your grandchildren are, maybe your wife, maybe your husband. Others who you deem close to you are involved in this. So yes, all of us need to be informed and aware of the dangers and advantages of social networking. There are more than 400 social networking sites on the internet today. And obviously 400 and counting. And the fastest growing of these sites is Facebook. It has more than 500 million active users with continued exponential growth. The average user, not the addicted user, the average user spends more than 32 minutes a day on Facebook alone. And that's not including other websites an individual may like to browse. In essence, it is real relationships via the virtual world. So what does this really have to do with Christianity? We're going to look at this morning how it affects us and what we do as a Christian, both positively and negatively, and what we can do about it. First and foremost, it is addicting. It can be addicting. There's no question about it. Where we get to the point where we've got to have it, we've got to be on it, and we can't get enough of it. Why is it addicting? Well, here's the process. First and foremost, it's new. It's new and shiny. It's only been around for a little over... We'll shut it down. It's only been around a handful of years. It was launched in February of 2004. And if you may recall, a couple months ago, the movie The Social Network came out based on this very social network. There are those who have recently created an account. Maybe you've been on it for a while. Maybe you just started your account. Learning how to navigate it takes time, and once you know your way around the site, it can be addicting. Here are some examples of how it can be addicting. There's a game on there called Farmville. Not familiar with it, but I know there's a game on there called Farmville. A 22-year-old Jacksonville mother was so addicted to this game, she shook her 3-month-old baby to death because the baby was crying and interrupting her playing the game. That's how addicting this can be. Have you heard of cyberbullying? People have committed suicide because of the taunting, harassing, and verbal abuse that they have endured on social networking sites. It's also addicting because it's exciting. You get to keep track of all your friends. Maybe you get to reconnect with people you went to high school with. Maybe people you went to college with, those who you currently work with, your neighbors, your long-distance friends, long-distance relatives. And yes, it's a good opportunity to connect with Christian friends. You learn how to post your thoughts and your comments, how to communicate with your friends, and it's interactive. Then after you learn the nuances of the site, you start writing on your page. You post what's on your mind. You tell everybody about yourself. And typically there is a level of anxiety to see who's commented on your post. Who likes what I have to say. And eventually the whole experience can consume your mind, your time, your energy, and yes, it can consume your money. You may consider yourself a pro or a veteran on these sites. There are casual users. There are those who, you know, have their own social networking site, but they don't use it. But there are others who may be on it 24/7. They can't get enough of it. But what does all this do, these social networking sites? It encourages self-centeredness. It doesn't represent self-centeredness but it encourages self-centeredness. Turn with me into Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We are Christians first and foremost. We are people who needed to be saved from our sins. And there is a biblical and a spiritual need to rid self. Rid what brings us down. Rid what consumes our time. And gain Christ. While social network is about relationships, most of the focus is about me. Posting what's on my mind, consider MySpace. What do you want to share? What's going on right now in your life? Okay. And because of that, it can become a breeding ground for gossip. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 11. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11. It says, for we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. When we could be doing something positive for the Lord, we may find ourselves typing away, and usually and typically it's spontaneous writings. What's on our mind? Well, something happens to us. Maybe somebody's wronged us. Or we have an opinion about something, all we want to do is share it with everyone else, mostly without thinking if there are any repercussions. And if there are, we're probably going to regret what we posted. Bridges have been burned, jobs have been lost, relationships have been seared because of this very danger. Many type without thinking and simply hit post or enter or share. Now, I'm not saying this morning that this can't be used positively or to share information we want to get out there to our friends. For example, our little baby girl was born a little over 11 weeks ago. Well, the easiest way to share that information was to post something on Facebook. Maybe something positive happens in your life. You've been searching for a job. You finally get a job, and you want to let everybody know that the prayers have been answered and you found the job that you were seeking. We've promoted gospel meetings on there. The gospel meeting is coming up. You want to let everybody know that we have this gospel meeting coming up and the doors are open for all. There are many different ways we can use it to our advantage, but it's also important to be aware of the dangers. If you would turn over to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 7. It says, a fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. We're all familiar with what's said in verse 24, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Where do our true treasures rest? Who do we truly serve? As Jesus states in that verse, we cannot serve both. We have to pick. He expects us to make a choice. While some posts can be deleted, many of those posts are left for the world to see your true fleshly nature, your true colors, and who you really are. Really, though, what can we do about this? What can we do about it so that we don't fall into this trap? Turn over to Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, if you would. Genesis chapter 4, verse 7. God here is speaking to Cain. Genesis 4 and verse 7, if you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And this desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Sin lies at our door when the temptation is there to spend the majority of our time on these social networking sites rather than digging deep in the God's Word. Its desire is for you. Its desire is for you. It wants to overtake you and consume you. However, we must rule over it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 30. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 30, it says, Jesus says, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. For it is more profitable for you that one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. If social networking sites cause you to sin and prevent you from serving the Lord as you should, get rid of it. Delete your account. Wipe it out. That's what you have to do if it affects you that much in a negative way. Keep in mind, social networking is not sinful in and of itself. You know, much good can come from it. You know, cited those previous examples. And in fact, it can be edifying. Current relationships can be enhanced in the same way we use the phone or the mail. We can encourage a struggling brother or sister in Christ. We can keep up to date with someone's health condition. We can share news that causes for rejoicing so that others can rejoice with you. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Even churches of Christ today have their own Facebook page where they share information to those who are fans of that page, where they release sermon topics or announcements or prayer requests. It's a way to promote the gospel and to stay connected with other Christians. So yes, it can be used in a positive manner. But it's important to keep in mind Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. If you would turn over to Matthew 22, 37 through 39. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. We are to practice the golden rule in every walk of life. Treat others the way you would want to be treated, and that includes online. Call it spiritual netiquette if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 30 through 31. If you would flip your Bibles over to 1 Corinthians 10, 30 through 31. Beginning in verse 30, it says, but if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Ultimately, whatever we do with our social networking involvement, use them to praise God, to encourage others, and to encourage others to praise God. You know, like I said at the start, if you're not involved in social networking, that's fine. That's understandable. But these concepts can be used in anything that may get in our way of serving the Lord. What do we spend our time doing? Your brother Jim Lee always uses the analogy of if we have the remote and the Bible sitting on our coffee table, which one do we pick up more? And it's an honest, fair question. Think about in your household. What do you pick up more? The remote in the left hand or the Word of God in your right hand? I hope that this lesson has been beneficial to you. And keep in mind, if you are going to be involved in social networking, use it to God's glory. These sites give us another avenue to promote the gospel, to promote the church, and to promote the perfect sacrifice of Jesus. Let's use these sites with that in mind. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, Paul says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." While we are on these sites, how do we represent Christ? Do we represent Christ in a positive light, or are we a poor reflection of Christ? And I have my own page. I'm not on it as often as I used to be. And you may have your own page as well. Think about your involvement in these sites. I do a lot of joking and making, we make jabs at each other. You can ask, you know, Brother Robert how we like to joke with each other. But think about what you post if you're involved. And if you're not involved, be wary of the dangers and also the advantages. Okay? We know the WWJD. What would Jesus do? You know, we know that that was, you know, driven by denominationalism many years ago. But that concept rings true. What would Jesus do? Would he want us to say this and share it with everyone else? Think before you post and interact. We are a Christian first and foremost in our lives. Again, I hope this lesson has been beneficial to you. I know it's beneficial for me and those who I come in contact with. It's, like I said, on December 26, 2010, this is the way the world communicates today, and it's continuing to head in that direction. Okay? Are there any here with us this morning who need to respond to the gospel? This opportunity has been afforded to you. The water is ready behind me. If you're not a Christian, you need to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, but it doesn't end there. You need to live your life faithfully in your service to the Lord. If you are a Christian, you have been baptized, but you have fallen away or you committed reproach on the church, this is your opportunity to ask for prayers from the congregation. This good congregation will pray for you and with you and help you in any way that you can. Again, I appreciate your opportunity to stand before you and your attention this morning. But if you have any needs, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing a song that Brother Jason has chosen.